This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue through Daniel. If you will turn with me to Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at the last few verses of chapter 1 and beginning of chapter 2 this morning. Chapter 1, verse 17. As these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Just want to pause here. One of the things that as you read this, where did Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah get their wisdom from? It was from God. What's amazing to me is, oftentimes, as you're looking at this, one needs to put things in perspective. As I mentioned this morning, these men were very young. They weren't even men yet. They were still teenagers. In all likelihood, as I mentioned this morning, probably they're mid-teens, probably 15 or somewhere in that neighborhood, given the fact that of how long Daniel is given in Scripture that he remained as prime minister within the land and through which reigns it was, and when they were taken into captivity, that's the likelihood of the age. What's amazing to me is that a lot of times we lower the bar too much on young people today. We expect too little out of them in their walk with the Lord and in their relationship to Christ. I've shared with you before about Isaac Watts, how that at age 5, he came to his father and said he didn't like necessarily some of the music at church because he found that it didn't have enough meat to it. At age 5, his dad told him to write, well, why don't you write something? He wrote his first hymn at age 5. There has been accounts of other believers, strong Christians, that begin studying Greek and Hebrew and the Bible at very young ages. I was just talking to a man this last week who was talking about the Sunday school program and materials that are available for various Sunday school programs. And he's saying how that they don't challenge young people. I believe that this is part of the reason that, as I mentioned this morning, a lot of young people are abandoning the church today. Why are they abandoning the church? Because they see that there's no answers here. At least they think there's no answers. I mentioned this morning, all the answers you need to every life question are in the Bible when it comes to our relationship with Christ, why we're here, where we're going, the things that we should do. But oftentimes we don't challenge our young people. Many of the curriculum writers for the Sunday school materials, they'll give the same 10 stories and they'll regurgitate them 5 different ways, and that'll be your course for the year. And then the Bible verses that they'll have the kids memorize, oh, they can't memorize these because they're too long, and so they'll condense a Bible verse so it doesn't really mean what it's saying, and they'll change it and put it into today's vernacular to try and get the children to be able to learn it, when they can learn from the good, solid translations like the King James or the New American Standard, things that are more biblically correct in their translation, and they can learn these verses, and it's been proven at a very young age they can. But we don't challenge our kids. And consequently, a lot of children grow up thinking that church is for women, older people, but there's really no answers here. And it's not. As I mentioned this morning, this is the most challenging thing and the greatest challenge that anyone would have is to follow Christ in a world that's in rebellion against him. Well, as you look at these four young men, they were 15-year-old young men, 16-year-old men, that came into the land of Babylon, into a totally pagan culture, an anti-God culture, not unlike our culture today. Yet they did not seek their wisdom from the magicians and the astrologers, but rather they sought their wisdom from the Lord at a young age. And God gave them what they sought, that is wisdom. So much so that Nebuchadnezzar stood amazed at the knowledge and understanding that these young men had. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. And that without a fear of the Lord, you will never be a wise person. You will never have understanding of life and the significant of your, the significance of life. Some of the prayer requests we had this afternoon were for people that are at the end of their lives. Some of them believers, some of them not believers. And if you just stop and look at this and the significance of coming to the end of your life, first of all, being a believer and having been a believer for many years of your life and having lived seeking to do the will of God during those years, how that you can look back and see how God has used you for His glory and your good in the promotion of the gospel and the transformation of other people's lives. And then looking forward to the moment that you have nothing to fear in death, but rather, as the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Because then I go into the presence of the Lord, and I will be with Him eternally. I will be transformed as He was transformed. And he talks about the fact of going into glory with Christ and how that we have that to look forward as a believer. And so as we're praying for those believers who are coming at the end of their lives, there's a totally different picture than the ones that we prayed for that don't know Christ. And some of these people, I don't know what they've done for their lives, but if you stop and think, there's people that today that aren't Christians that are brilliant people. They've got IQs off the chart. They may have made great discoveries in their fields of expertise. They may have done tremendous things, but they come to the end of their life, and what does it matter? What do all of those things matter if they're facing eternity and do not know where they're going, or they fear death? I remember writing to a friend and sharing the gospel with this person, and I sent her Dave Hunt's book. And the response I got was, I started to read the book, but I had to put it down because the first chapter talked about death and I couldn't handle it. Stop and think about that statement. The first chapter talked about death and I couldn't handle it. If you read the first chapter of that book, it says that most of us spend more time researching a used car that we're going to buy than we do thinking about eternity and the fact that we will die one day. That was disturbing to this person. Why? Because they didn't know what happens after death. They didn't want to think about it. How many people today put death out of their mind and don't even think about it and view it as it will never happen to them? I'm immortal. And what's amazing to me is Daniel and his three friends understood it wasn't that they were mortal beings. There was accountability that God was real. That even though they were in a situation in their life that was not an ideal situation, because I'm sure they would have been rather have been back home in Israel and never had the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, invade Israel and take them away as captives. I'm sure they would have liked to have been with their families. I'm sure they would have liked to have been able to go to the temple to worship. I'm sure that all of those things were at the center of their thoughts and minds. It was not the place they wanted to be, but there was one thing that they could take with them, even no matter what the circumstance in life was, and that thing was their relationship to Christ. And in seeking guidance and wisdom from Him in the midst of trial and tribulation, and looking to Him for answers. Now, I want you to see the two places that Nebuchadnezzar is getting advice from. The one is from these four young men who are tuned into God. The other is from all the other wise men in his courts that are tuned into Satan, tuned into the occult. They are the astrologers. They are the occultists. They're the magicians. These are men who gain their wisdom from soothsaying and necromancy and speaking to spirits, guided imagery, many of the things that are being brought into the church today. You know that currently right in the church today and people are being taught guided imagery. And I was just reading an article this morning that was put out by the Bobkins on their newsletter. And they were talking about Voice of the Martyrs. And I have to believe that Richard Wurmbrand would be very, very upset if he saw the direction Voice of the Martyrs has gone. It was talking in one of their last newsletters where the people were talking about that the way that Christians that are suffering persecution and are being persecuted for their faith in these countries need to deal with it is through inner healing and guided imagery, which is the combination of psychology and the occult. It has nothing to do with the Bible. I want to tell you, Daniel and his friends did not turn to guided imagery and psychology for the answers for their situation. Instead, they turned to the Lord, the one who has the power to help them in the midst of their situation and give them true answers. Richard Wurmbrand never turned to guided imagery. Basically, what the Voice of the Martyrs did is they had a whole article in one of their recent magazines where it talked about how that as Christians that are suffering persecution, you need to visualize Jesus, go to him and ask him, what will you have me do in the midst of this persecution, and then have Jesus tell you what to do. Now, that's very, 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 very dangerous because nowhere in Scripture does it say that I'm to be visualizing Jesus to get my answers to my life. It tells me where I am to get the answers to my life is from the Word of God. His Word has been given to me, and His Word is complete. I don't need an angel. I don't need a demon. I don't even need some spirit being pretending to be Jesus to tell me how I am to face a difficult situation in life. Instead, what I need to do is go to the Lord and go to His Word. And so we see here that that's exactly what Daniel and his friends did. Had they not walked in obedience to Christ when it came to the area of either walking after God and His commands or doing what the world was doing, if they had done what the world was doing, they would have gone to the wrong place to get advice. Instead, because they walked in obedience over here, they knew where to go and how to go to get answers to life. And this put them in a tremendous situation. I want you to know that sometimes people are watching you that you don't even realize are watching you. I remember one time when I was in college and I was living with some guys that were ungodly men. They weren't Christians. And I wasn't as vocal in sharing the gospel as I should have been. And oftentimes I had opportunities and I would talk to them a little bit. They knew what my positions were. They knew that I was a Christian. They knew that I didn't do a lot of the things they did. One night, one of the young men came back from a party where he was really been drinking a lot. He was drunk, and he was extremely mad. He was so mad that he came in yelling, screaming, swearing. He went up to his room, punched his fist through the closet door, and then he said, "I want to talk to Glenn." I was a little bit filled with fear and trepidation as I went up to his room, wondering if my face was going to be the next target of his fist. I walked in the room and he began to cry. And he said, "I promised God I was never going to drink again. What do I do?" You know, sometimes people are watching that you don't even think are watching. Sometimes people that you don't think are even thinking about the Lord are thinking about the Lord. But if you and I didn't give the answers that I should have given as complete as I should have given them. But I'm just telling you this because I want you to understand these young men, because they were willing to walk the way of the Lord and verbalize their beliefs, and not only verbalize them but live them, and then seek the wisdom of God. As they came before Nebuchadnezzar, he saw something different in them than he saw in all the other young men that were brought before him. And we're going to see in a little bit that what he saw was that they had the true answers that the other guys didn't have. And it began at that time. already to begin to put seeds, I believe, in Nebuchadnezzar's mind that were going to bear fruit years later. Years later, when God would deal with him and his pride and his arrogance and break that. But the seeds are already being laid now. The seeds that there is a God who presents the truth, who knows the truth, who controls the things, and it has nothing to do with the vessels of the temple that you have taken out and placed in your temple. He is not submissive to your gods. This God is the true and the living God. And that he's not tied to vessels. He's not tied to temples. His footstool is the earth. His throne is the heavens. He stands above his creation. And he is in control of his creation. And these young men were projecting that message with their attitudes. Now, sometimes does it mean that they're going to be accepted? The answer is no. As a matter of fact, they're going to be challenged. And oftentimes they're challenged by those that are ungodly around them. Daniel, when you come towards the end of the book of Daniel, you see that though these astrologers, these soothsayers, these other counselors that were jealous of Daniel because Daniel had been placed in a position of leadership and authority within the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians after the Babylonian kingdom had fallen, we see that Daniel... they knew that Daniel would pray every day. And so they had a decree that would come against, specifically designed to come against Daniel, so Daniel would be thrown into the den of lions to be killed, simply because he was praying to the Lord. Did it stop Daniel from praying? No, as a matter of fact, he went out and prayed where all could see, like he did every day, people could see that he was praying and praying to the Lord. Even though he knew what the consequences of that decision would be. That is the depth of commitment to Christ that these young men had. And they had it at a young age. A lot of people say, well, when I get old, then I'll get serious. I want to tell you that it's not easy to get serious when you get old if you've never been serious throughout the rest of your life. And none of us are guaranteed tomorrow anyway. And so we need to begin to live today as if today is the last day we have to live for Christ. And if we begin to look at it that way, it changes our whole perspective on things, on the way that we deal with people, relate to people, and the decisions we make. And that we will make decisions based upon our relationship with Christ, not based upon the world's philosophies and the pressures that come at us from the world. So this is where we're at with these young men. As they come into favor in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And in verse 20, it's very telling. It says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them how much? 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. Why? Because they were going to the one who had the truth and had the answers. I think it's very amazing. You look at science today in the public schools and in college campuses, and sadly to say in many Christian campuses, evolution has replaced creationism as the origin model. And in none of the public schools or college most of the college campuses, the creation model is not even discussed. And yet, if you look at science itself, and the way that we've come to the scientific, being able to have the scientific method, it was brought about, and the foundation of science was brought about not by pagans, but it was many of the founding fathers that we view as the founding fathers of modern science were Christians. Sir Isaac Newton, a number of other men out of England that had tremendous wisdom and knowledge because their wisdom and knowledge began with presuppositions based in Scripture, not presuppositions based in myth of the occult and the world of paganism that stands against God. And so that they knew that a God of order would put together a creation of order, and they begin to view that and knew that that God would help them to understand and discern his creation, which he did. And you have some of the great scientists were Bible-believing Christians, some of the first ones. Oftentimes that is neglected to be even mentioned today in many classrooms. But they had tremendous wisdom. And I've shared with you before, Isaac Newton and the volumes, not only that he wrote about math and science and some of the discoveries he had in the area of mathematics, but the greater works that he had in his commentaries on the scriptures and the studies that he did in the Bible and the character of God, and just tremendous in that area. Well, we need to understand, because as we get into chapter 2, which we're not going to be doing this afternoon, we'll be putting it off to next Sunday, but you need to understand the foundation that these young men are coming into this situation in. It's not just a haphazard thing. It begins with their relationship with the Lord. It begins with their understanding of obedience to His will, and that God will not give us wisdom or knowledge if we are walking in rebellion to Him. But rather, wisdom and knowledge is directly correlated to our fear of the Lord. And in the believer's life, fear of the Lord is not that we're standing in friendly in fear that God's going to squash us, He's going to somehow destroy us, but rather, in fear of the Lord, that is awe, reverence, honor. And these young men feared the Lord. There was awe, reverence, honor. All one needs to do is look at their names, as we studied this morning. Look at their names they were given at birth. And their names have significance into their relationship to God. And it was evident in their lives when they lived in a land that was anti-God, in a land that was filled with corruption and wickedness and vice. And yet they stood for truth. They could not have done it at an old age if they didn't begin to do it at a young age. So I challenge you today, those of you who are young, you want a real challenge in life. Begin to live for Christ today. Don't put it off. Begin to walk in obedience so that you can grow in wisdom and knowledge now. So that people will see in you that you've got answers when other people don't. They'll come to you in their moments of trouble, because they know that your life is built on something solid, a rock that's unmovable. And you've shown it to them by the life that you're living. Begin today that you may build on that rock, and that he who may grow in his wisdom and knowledge, and that you may be like Daniel and Mishael, Ahasuerus, and Hananiah, that you may be men and women of God. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what it truly means to seek your wisdom and knowledge, and how that we can be people that would show forth that wisdom and knowledge in our day. There's a lot of foolishness that's going on in our culture, a lot of wickedness. But Father, you have given us answers. And Lord, you have given to us wisdom and knowledge that is beyond what we can even comprehend or understand. You've laid it before us in your word. You promised that you would be with us, and you'd even give us the words to share when we're placed in situations where we need to tell people about you, that your spirit would be there with us to enable us to know what to say and how to say it. Lord, you are the God who created all things, and Father, in you, we find strength, we can find courage. Help us to, at no matter what our age is, to begin to build our lives upon the rock that cannot move, your Son, Jesus Christ. Go with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.